every podcaster thinks they have a growth problem, but most of them actually don't. They have a retention problem.
What is the biggest lever at the moment for you to grow the show?
People are like, lead with value. Lead with value. Make sure your content is valuable. But I always struggled with, what does value mean? Like, how do I know if content is valuable or not? What was really helpful for me was when I replaced the word valuable with useful. Mm. So is this useful?
There's nothing more valuable than the experience of people asking you questions and then you're trying to answer those. And there's so much hidden value in those. Even if there's not a big show, say yes to that conversation, because you'll be very surprised on the value that comes out of your mouth when people frame questions in a different way.
A lot of content is transfer of energy in a sense. And when people see it and they see that you're comfortable in being yourself when you're sharing your message, they're going to connect with you.
The algorithm hack that I use, and that this is what I teach my clients, for identifying the right shows to be on is this.
We've got some. Hey, I'm Luis.
And this is Luis.
And welcome to the Content is Profit podcast.
And here you're going to get the insights, accountability, and drive to create consistently and increase revenue.
You'll hear from top entrepreneurs, creators, and anything and everything you need to know about content, all this while having a good time.
The goal of this podcast is simple: entertain, educate, and turn your content into profit.
Let's go. Ding, 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 ding. What's
I'm ready.
Up? I am so ready. I have like 5 shots of caffeine already. But anyways, today, guys, we have a very special person. Like I mentioned earlier, we met at a live event in Orlando. And let me tell you, this guy is tall. Very tall. I'm also very tiny. But that's not the thing that impressed me. The thing that impressed me is that he is making 2.5 million macaroonies, dollars, that is.
Yeah, he's produced 2.5 million
his show, macaroonies. Which is crazy, right? He also helps a ton of entrepreneurs with podcasts and grow their audiences to 60% per month and monetize it today, which is awesome, right? And he has a ton of case studies, which we'll dive in just a second. And also the most impressive thing also for me personally, because I'm trying to get rid of my dad bud, is he lost about 100 pounds. So if those go together and we can produce podcasts and make money and lose weight, hey, it's a win for me. So there we go. Fonzie, anything else you want to add in there?
Bring him on.
Guys, please welcome the one and only, our dear friend, and I'm sure Content is Profit Hall of Famer, Kevin. Oh, there we go, Kevin. Let's go. Way to butcher the intro, Luis.
Oh my goodness. What an intro. My gosh. That's tough to live up to. It's putting me in the Hall of Fame before we even have the interview, fellas. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe we should wait till after the interview first.
I love it. You're too humble, Kevin. I'm going to say this. I actually bought a little machine that prints, you know, the little names, like labeler. I'm going to have to put it in here, because every time my brother is pressing the wrong button, he's like, yeah, let's bring it on. I'm like, dude, that's the wrong button for like the third episode in a row.
Bring him on.
Yeah, that's right. So my brother went to plug the computer because, you know, planning, of course. But Kevin, we like to start the conversation diving deep straight into, you know, content is profit. You're pretty open in your marketing when you're publishing your podcast and you say you've generated around $2.5 million in sales, you know, from your podcast. I'm curious, was that still the number? How much is that right now? And can you provide a roughly maybe a breakdown of how's that being happening, right? Is that courses, sponsorships? How are you doing that?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's at this point, it's somewhere over 4 years. It's somewhere between 2.5 and 3 million. I haven't looked at it recently. And the vast, vast majority of that is through sales of my program, the Grow the Show Accelerator. So that program it's evolved a lot over the past 4 years, but it's a high ticket growth program. It includes, you know, a bunch of stuff. It includes a course, it includes coaching, it includes community, it includes a bunch of done for you stuff. And like I said, it's had many, many different variations. So it's had many different price points. Yeah. But the point is that none of those sales would have been made if not for my podcast. And in fact, when I launched Grow the Show, we can talk about the history if you want, but I basically launched Grow the Show in July of 2020. And I got 3 clients for this program. And at that point, it was 3K. So I was like, oh my gosh, 9K, holy crap, it's on. At that point, I hadn't launched the Grow the Show podcast yet. So it was just an accelerator program. And I was teaching people what I had achieved with my first podcast. I went 4 to 6 months. I didn't launch the Grow the Show podcast until October of 2020. So the time in between, I was on discovery calls all day long. with podcasters trying to pitch them to hire me, right? And to join my coaching program. And over the course of that, like 4 months, I took about 120 calls and five people joined. And it was brutal. I was so stressed out and upset about how terrible these sales calls were going. Cause everybody was just telling me to pound sand when I would say, oh, it's $3,000. I was getting tested for sleep apnea. I was that stressed. I could not sleep. It was just horrible. And it wasn't until I launched the Grow the Show podcast and did what I know how to do and hooked up content to that business. That was the inflection point. And within 3 months after launching Grow the Show, the business was doing 40K per month. And it hasn't looked back since. So the lesson in there is that I was trying to sell without content. It was brutal. I was going, like, I was getting medical tests because it was so horrible. And then once my girlfriend was like, why don't you launch a podcast about this? And I did. And that is when things really started to take off.
Wow. What an amazing girlfriend, first of all. I hope you hire her or something, give her some, referral money in there. But Kevin,
we have parallel stories until, you know, the girlfriend talk and Katie told me, go get a job. And I ignored that completely.
Kevin.
Nice.
Thank you for, how open you're with this. And, when you talk about attaching the content to the offer, of course, you're starting to bring people that are qualified, right? People that are finding you because they want to grow their show, right? They're already have that podcaster in them and they know what their objectives are. I'm curious, in contrast, how you were getting the people to talk to pre-grow the show, and then how are you getting the people to talk to post-grow the show?
Yeah. So before that, I was doing email and LinkedIn outbound. So I was one of those dudes on LinkedIn that would send you a DM and be like, hey, just looking to connect. And then as soon as you connect,
pitch mode.
Looking back, yeah, I wish, don't do it anymore. But that's what it was. And also the thing with podcasting is every podcast has a public email address. And so I would just go get them. I had a virtual assistant helping me and I was just reaching out to literally thousands of podcasts per day and getting about 6 to 12 discovery calls per day. Now, what I didn't understand then is that, there are certain types of podcasts that I am best suited to serve, that I am best suited to grow, and also just like it makes sense financially for them to hire a high-ticket podcast coach. Yeah, I didn't understand that at the time, so a lot of the folks that I was talking to weren't, they were hobbyists, side hustlers. Nothing wrong with that, but it just doesn't make financial sense to invest that much where they were at. And so the big difference was, in my outbound at that time, in my cold email and cold DMing conversations, I would send people to my calendar and they would book a call and then we would chat and I'd say 3,000 and then they'd tell me to pound sound. But then once I launched the Grow the Show podcast, I switched it and I don't really do this anymore, but I continued doing outbound. But instead of telling people to book a call with me, I told them to check out my show. I said, hey, I just launched this podcast. You are exactly the type of podcaster I want to serve with it. Every episode teaches you a lesson on how to grow and monetize. Are you interested in the link? Then people would start listening to the show. And then after listening to several episodes, then they would be like, hey, can we chat? I would love to work with you.
Yeah. Question. You mentioned, I put here the switch pitch, because obviously, we've been in a place also with outbound DM and different things, and it feels dirty. I'm telling you, man, it's so awkward. And we found different ways to connect. And then we have a Facebook group that, we were very engaged with for a while. And then we connected it with them. And then we also launched kind of like a mini show on the side called Content Bites, which is not live anymore. But we had these conversations and just trying to get into those conversations with people that are like, how can we continue to serve you, right? And on our side, it's more on a production service type of deal. We're about to go into... People have been asking, how do you guys do what you do, right? So maybe the teaching side will start very soon. And, we don't run ads to the show or any other products that we have. Everything has been word of mouth, referrals, people that come organically to us in those conversations. So the switch pitch I love about doing that. Why do you don't do it anymore? Is it because you outgrew that strategy? And then with that question, somebody that's in that position, right, that might be starting out, limited resources in a sense, would you recommend doing that with their show to, I guess, show what you're all about and then move them forward? Or is there something different that you would do today?
Yeah, so great questions. So the reason I stopped is, yes, I outgrew it. I eventually, the Grow the Show podcast began to become a thing that started to grow on its own because, that's what I teach people how to do, right? So I was why don't I just do that? So there's that. And then I also learned how to run Facebook ads. And once I learned how to run Facebook ads and how to do them profitably, at that point, I was like, yeah, I'm not doing outbound anymore. That said, and so the next question is, well, somebody who doesn't have the resources or the know-how to do Facebook ads yet, maybe they don't have a podcast that is getting the attention that Grow the Show started to get, you know, do I recommend outbound? And I'll phrase it this way. I don't think I could have done it without doing the outbound first. As much as I hated that time period and as stressed as I was, like, it was just such an absolute crash course in so many different things, a crash course in sales, a crash course in marketing, a crash course in getting people to respond, all of those things. I learned so much in that time period that I carried forward. But what's also true is that, you know, early on when you don't have tons of resources, content takes a while to get kicking, right? Like, you put it out there, you got to get not only get good at the content, but get good at marketing the content. And so, and that takes some time. And in the meantime, you got to eat, right? You got your girlfriend saying, why don't you go get a job, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, they're in the early stages, we kind of have to swallow our pride a little bit and just be like, look, I just got to get out there and get what I do in front of as many people as possible. Some people are going to tell me to not contact them anymore, and that's fine. But it's when you get that first person who says, like, who is a client, and at the end of, you know, working with you, they're like, I am so glad that you randomly emailed me. Then you're like, okay, I'm cool with doing this more.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I love it.
Kevin, this is what I love and hate at the same time about podcasting is that the more the conversation goes, I can see so many routes that we can take with this conversation. And, you know, it's part of the podcast. I have to sacrifice some of them. So right now I'm thinking, which question should I sacrifice? Where do I want to take this? Obviously, you know, based actually in one of the podcast episodes that you recorded, I think fairly recently with the guy that runs Social Proof, you know, you talk about having that persona. Who's that person that you want to help and keep that person, you know, focus in mind? So I'm making the decision of the next question based on that, right? What is the next step that the person that is listening to the show with you right now would want to take? And I think the one that comes to mind is, what is the biggest lever at the moment for you to grow the show? You mentioned you run Facebook ads, but I don't know if that is specifically for your offer or if you actually run Facebook ads for your show as well. Or are you doing any other sort of activity behind the scenes, right, that is the biggest lever for the growth of your show?
Yeah, so there, what I found is that today, right now in 2024, there are three levers that are working really well. And what I recommend to podcasters is to pick one of them to really go all in on and get it working and not try to get all three of them working. Because a big mistake that I see, and then I don't blame an early podcaster for, is that they try to do all of them at once. They try to, they think, I'm going to try all of these strategies and whichever one works, I'll do. But that's actually not how it works. It's not going to work until you commit, like, I'm going to do this one strategy and I'm not going to stop doing it until it works, because the news is they all work. So if you're hearing my voice right now and you're a podcaster and you've caught yourself saying that strategy doesn't work, I have news. It does. They all work. The question is, can you get it to work? Can you learn the skill of getting it to work for your show? So, and then real quick, I want to put a bookmark in one thing before I tell you what those three strategies are. The other thing that I see is that every podcaster thinks they have a growth problem, but most of them actually don't. They have a retention problem. Mm. They have an issue keeping the listeners that they get. And so I've seen podcasters who they have 100 downloads per episode, and they're like, man, my audience is just stuck at 100. It's the same 100 people. I'm like, actually, no. You probably have about 10 to 20 people listening in every episode, and you're doing all this stuff to try to grow the show. But my news for you is that that stuff is working. It's just you have 80 people every week who's cycling out. They press play on your show. It's not that great. They're like, okay, no, they don't come back next week. So while it looks like you're stagnant, there's actually a huge hole in the bucket that is your audience, right? So I just wanted to note on that before, because I'm happy to talk growth strategies, but number one, I'm like, look at completion first, make sure your show is good. And so do you want me to go into the three strategies, or do you want to talk more about that?
Absolutely. I love this. And then we don't have to go into the bucket, because we talked about this in the show multiple times, right? We obviously talk on the sales environment, but it's like, you know, to increase sales was the first thing that you got to do. We got to control the leak of the bucket, right? And that's interesting. Now, maybe if we have some time at the end, Maybe we can go into small tactics on like how do you actually find that out, because that has been one of the things that we've noticed with the people in the studio or like in general, right? The education gap on the podcasting platforms can be pretty wide, pretty big. So it's like, well, how do I actually find out if they're actually the same 100 people or different 100 people, right? So maybe after the levers, we can go into that, or you know, we can send people your way and then they can learn from you. But I'm stoked about the levers. Let's go.
Okay, cool. So there's three, and I generally recommend them generally in this order, but you don't have to do them in this order. And if you don't like one of them, don't do it. So it's okay. Like, you don't have to do any of them. Like, because people are always just like, but I don't want to do that. I'm like, great, don't. Pick one of the other ones. So the first one is social media. But there's most people, most podcasters that I come across get promoting their podcast on social media wrong because they are trying to promote their podcast on social media. What do I mean by that? Well, when you're trying to promote your podcast on social media, what your posts usually look like is it's a headshot of the guest that you've had, some corporate headshot that's really not that great and kind of grainy and a little bit of branding on top of it. And it says, you know, a big like episode 175. And then it says, new episode now with Dr. So-and-so. I was so honored he came on the show. Link in bio. And it's like, you are trying to promote your podcast on social media. The thing is, people are not on social media to consume promotional content. They don't like that. That content is not good. They don't see that. And they're not like, man, I'm really glad I saw that post today. Mm-hmm. What they think is, oh my God, that's so annoying. And they scroll past it faster than their brain even registers, which then tells the social media algorithm, just whatever you do, don't show this post to anybody. And that's why when you're in that position, you get no likes, no shares, no comments, no engagement. And you're like, social media doesn't work to promote a podcast. So that's where most people are. When you learn how to use social media to promote a podcast, it's a different feel, right? You're posting on a regular basis. Folks are getting joy out of the social media content itself. And then they're asking you, how do I listen to this? Where can I find this episode? And the key distinction, the key difference is that you don't want to use social media to promote your podcast episodes. You want to use your podcast episodes to participate on social media. Mm. What do I mean by that? I just said that to you, right? I just said this little nugget, right, of knowledge. So what I would recommend to you guys is instead of saying, hey, just had Kevin on Content is Profit. It was a great episode. Go listen now. It's instead, hey, I learned a new strategy for how to grow a podcast on social media this week. And here it is. Don't promote, participate. Add a little bit in the post about what I'm telling you now. And then at the end, you can say, by the way, I learned this from Kevin Schmidlin, who came on Content is Profit this week. He dove way more in detail on how to execute this. If you want to hear that, let me know. I'll send you the link. That, in that case, you are providing social media content that is actually useful and entertaining by itself.
Yeah.
And not just, again, somebody's horrible headshot, right? You don't need to show just the same picture of me that everybody posts.
Yeah.
Right?
Like that people know you just screenshot it from their expanded LinkedIn profile picture.
Yeah. Right. No, but and we've already seen that a million times. I'm like, damn, this is, and it's starting to get grainy because everybody's screenshotting it so much. But that's the difference. And when you do it that way, like I've seen clients who have absolutely exploded their show. I had one client who launched a podcast in September and she participated on TikTok. She launched a podcast about her favorite book series with her sister and they just hopped on TikTok, which TikTok was talking, it's book talk. It was talking about this series of books. And within 3 months, they got 1 million downloads on their podcast and they both quit their jobs and shut down their businesses to do their podcast full time. That virtually exclusively came from just, instead of promoting, they participated. They entered the town square and just started posting good content that people like.
Yeah. Yeah.
So good.
I like lever one. First of all, I'm going to say all this aligns a lot with our belief on you got to find your own how. Like you mentioned, right? People are promoting their own strategy and they're like, this is the one strategy. It's like, no, probably all strategies work, but you got to find your own. And I love strategy one, which is, you know, that big one, first lever, participate over promoting. Be a part of the conversation, leading with value. I think that is cliche in a way at this point. Maybe people that haven't been in social media for that long, they might not have heard it as much, but people that have participated for a while in many conversations, you probably heard it, lead with value, value, value. And everybody says it for a reason, because people want, you know, to consume content that is going to be valuable for them, right? They want to be part of a conversation. I'm going to add in there, I think, adding a little bit of your own personality, right? If you have, if you're a little bit funny, doesn't necessarily have to be super high energy. It depends on what you are, because people relate to that energy as well, right? We share here that a lot of content is transfer of energy in a sense. And when people see it and they see that you're comfortable in being yourself when you're sharing your message, they're going to connect with you. So adding that participation with your own energy, I think, is huge.
Yeah. I relate a lot because we were those guys that were post like the podcast cover, you know, blue and orange. And, you know, at the time was a problem of
the brightest the color, the more people will get.
We're like upside down, all this stuff. But at the same time, I think it was a capacity issue at the time, right? We didn't have a team, and it was more like, hey, we kind of have to put these out there because, you know, it's the little promotion that we can do. So I would encourage people, as they look at their processes, right, account for that promotional time and also account for some
participation time, please.
Participation, creation time, right, at the end of the day. Yes. So an example, and this is coming from our own feedback on specifically LinkedIn, is something that I personally am trying. So for every podcast that we do, there's a few clips that go out in video form for vertical form, but that clip is transcribed. And then the process that we have now is like that goes to AI. We have a series of prompt that shape it, you know, version one of like how this as an individual idea would look like, right? Somebody giving value, and then this is something. And then it goes through me, and then I update it with like my own wording and like reshape it to like how I want it, the final version. Then that text version, I've been posting it on LinkedIn. I haven't been as consistent as I would like it to be. So it's been like 1 week really good, 1 week really bad, 1 week really good. And it's part of the testing that I'm doing with my own personal flow and the team. But it's been incredible because they're presented as individual value points. That specific example is text. And then we tag the people that we learned that from, and we established conversation. So at the time of this recording, yesterday we posted one with Carly from HubSpot, and it was incredible. Right? And it has been the most traction and growth that I've seen personally on LinkedIn, right? And then it will translate into the download of the episodes, which is amazing. So as you're telling this, I'm like, oh, good. After 4 years, I finally got to that point. We should have had Kevin 4 years ago on the show. So I appreciate you, man, for putting it so clear. And I just want to encourage people to start trying that out and be like, okay, how can I account or shape my day or my team to be able to produce and create and participate on social media, like you were saying?
Yeah. If I could just add to that, I'll add two quick little things that'll be helpful before we move on to lever two, which is if you're, you know, one of those podcasters who's in that situation, which we've all been in, where it's like, I don't have time to just like spend all my time on social media to promote this thing. There's two things to keep in mind. Number one is, we put a lot of pressure on ourselves to take an hour-long podcast and create 25 pieces of social media content from it. Because gurus like me are up there like, you got to repurpose. You got it, right? But if all you do is put out one piece of content, one piece of social media content from your podcast that is valuable, you will likely, as you've experienced, get more out of that one post that's really good than out of 25 posts that are super mid. Yeah. And the other thing that I'll add is that I know that like, when I was learning this, because I heard that too. I heard what you said, where people are like, lead with value, make sure your content is valuable. But I always struggled with, what does value mean? Like, how do I know if content is valuable or not? And what was really helpful for me was when I replaced the word valuable with useful. Mm. So is this useful, right? So if you post a headshot and it says link in bio, is that piece of content right then and there, if nobody takes any extra action, is consuming that piece of content really useful? Mm-hmm. That isn't, and I would say, like, it's not useful to just know that you guys put out a new episode next week. What's useful is to learn what you learned in the episode that week. So that's the little hack that really helped it click for me, is everything out there, make it useful. And that's when you start to get that organic reach and growth.
Yeah, better know that I'm gonna be sharing this as a useful piece of information for, promoting the podcast. This actually reminds me of the episode we did with Chris Doe that we were talking about selling. And he mentioned, you know what? I actually don't like to use the word sell. I like to reframe it and change the word sell for help. And I feel the same vibe right now from you, which is, I don't really like to use that much the word value, but useful. And I think it's a great filter questions that you get to ask yourself after you create a piece of content to determine, should I actually put this out into the world, yes or no? Because like you mentioned, right? Value is very subjective, but I think useful. Totally. Of course, it's subjective to people's circumstances, but I think it has a little bit more of straight up focus on the person that you're trying to help and that persona that you're trying to help move one step closer towards their goal. So when you ask yourself after creating something, is this useful? If the question, yeah. Is this useful? Can they use this in the next day or two? If the question is yes, absolutely press enter and put that piece of content out into the world.
Yeah.
All right. So what is lever two? I'm excited.
Yeah, absolutely. So lever two, this is the one that I have found to be the best bang for your buck. Ooh. Where you get the most growth out of the least amount of time, because social media is awesome, but it's also fairly linear, right? Every week you got to put out a post. This one is can be exponential in growth, number one. Yeah. And number two, it's, in my opinion, the most efficient. Mm. And that is what I'm doing right now, collaborating and appearing on other podcasts. Now, I know a lot of folks have heard this strategy. A lot of podcasters are like, yeah, I know, I need to collaborate. And what I hear is folks are like, I tried that already. I was a guest on other shows and I didn't get any growth from it. And like, it didn't really work, blah, 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 blah. So what I found is that most people who have tried guesting on other shows, it didn't work for them for a few reasons. And that's because you have two different avatars for people who tried and failed with guesting. Avatar number one is they sent 5 pitches. They got 1 acceptance. They showed up on 1 other show. That show did not have any listener base, right? That was another podcaster that has no audience. So they appeared on that one show, nothing happened, and they said, this doesn't work. Mm-hmm. Not true. The other person who said that didn't work is the spray and prayer. I'm sure you guys have gotten a bunch of ridiculous podcast pitches for your show.
Yeah.
Pitches that are in no way relevant to content or profit, right? Yep. And it's like, this person clearly did not read. Like, clearly my email showed up in a huge list of 100,000 podcasts and they had their assistant email all of them and say,
yeah.
I was someone who came from nothing and got cancer and then beat the cancer and became a billionaire. I would love to share my story with your audience. Like, come on.
Or they would like, we listen to Content's Profit and we love this episode with this person. And then we respond, well, that's great. What was your favorite part of that episode? And then we'd never hear back from them.
Exactly. Right. So you got all these folks that are doing tons of volume, and I credit that. They're like, they're getting it done, right? Like, they're sending tons of pitches. But number one, they're not reaching out to targeted shows. They're not reaching out to the podcasts that you know for sure has the right listeners already listening to them. They're just going all over the place. And then the second thing is, when you take that much of a volume approach and you don't qualify which podcasts you're pitching, the ones that you get yeses from are, again, the shows that don't have any downloads. The more audience a podcast has that you pitch, the harder it is to get on the show, right? The less they respond, the more hoops you got to jump through, the more competition there is because everybody's trying to be on that show. Yeah. So I found that like when I send pitches, if I hear back from the creator right away and they just send me their Calendly link, I don't automatically disqualify them. I don't judge them, but I'm like, ooh, that person probably doesn't have a huge audience because there's clearly no competition to be on the show, right?
Yeah. Interesting.
So the algorithm hack that I use and that this is what I teach my clients for identifying the right shows to be on is this. If you're a show that has guests, right? So you guys have had countless guests on this show. Mm-hmm. What I would do is have a virtual assistant research every other podcast that your previous guest has been on. So for me, you have your virtual assistant go and research all of the shows that Kevin Schmidlin has been on. And I've been on like 20 in the past week, right? So then you look at all those shows that I've been on because odds are if I was on your show, then I was probably on other shows related to content and profit. And also, odds are, if you respect me enough to have me on your show, I probably am, you know, I've already done the work to vet the shows that are worth being on. Yeah. So then you get that list. You're like, look, Kevin has been on 30 podcasts in the past year that are related to content and profit.
Yeah.
You can use Raphonic or Listen Notes to see, you know, a little bit more details about the show. And then when you pitch them, here's the two-part pitch hack. Number one, don't throw the pitch. Don't go straight for the jugular in the first email. You're not like, what's up? I love your show. Here's my pitch. You should feature me in my story. It's you reach out and you say, hey, I came across you because you featured Kevin Schmidlin on your show. And so did I. Isn't he awesome? Just curious. How do you prefer to receive podcast pitches? So in the first email, instead of just sending the pitch and sending an email to which the answer needs to be, yes, I will have you on my show, or no, I will not have you on my show. which everybody just doesn't answer that because they don't want to make the decision right then and there.
Yeah. Yeah.
You simply ask, how do you prefer to receive pitches? Mm. And then usually one of three things will happen. Either they will say, I don't want to pitch, right? So they just tell you no right then and there. And it's like, great. Now you don't have to like research their episodes and stuff, right? Because they already said no, four things. Or they won't answer. Great. I didn't waste tons of time doing tons of research about their show. They didn't answer me. Or they will either say, you're in the right place. Send your pitch here. What do you have in mind? Or they'll send you to a form.
Yeah.
And generally the bigger shows will have some sort of intake process and then you're in, right? You are now in their official process. So that is the big difference. And that is how I recommend folks get featured on other podcasts. If you shoot to get featured on 4 per month, averaged out across the year, so 50 per year, I promise you, your show is going to grow way faster than it is now.
Yeah.
Was it the Brett Crumbs theory that we talked about a while back? I love this, man. Like, and you know, we've noticed it on our side. By the way, full disclosure, in all these levers, we can do better. Always. CBB can be better.
Me too.
100%. And, you know, the second we joined Podmatch with our great friend Alex, I immediately got so overwhelmed. We got about like 100 pitches on both sides, for people to be on the show and then for us to be on theirs. And it was like very overwhelming. I don't know what it was. I think it was my brother's picture that was there. It's like, oh my gosh, like he's so handsome. Let's do it. but it's also, you know, I'm more the logical side. It's like, okay, how can we ensure consistency on this? And I go back to the things that we talk about every single day, capacity. And I love that you mentioned, it's not that you have to do 12 a month, right? Start with one a week. Like, what's the block of time that you're going to do this? Instead of, you know, spraying and praying with these big platforms that you'll find every single show in the platform of the earth, that can be super intimidating. It's like, hey, go to the people that you already know, that you have a connection with. There's a link, right? There's something there that we can grab onto and develop that relationship. And that has been... I mean, Content is Profit, you know, knock on wood, has been purely referral, whether that's an event or somebody else that came in here and be like, hey, we know your energy, we know your thing. This is a great guest that you guys can have. And that has been super beneficial to not having to go find those guests, but at the same time generate opportunities from the people and the relationships that we engage with on the
show. I'm going to add a layer to that, which is devaluing the relationships that you already are creating, right? So, for example, now, since you're officially in Content is Profit, we're homies, right? So potentially we can see that you've been in somebody else's podcast that we might be interested in, you know, being part of, and we can reach out to you and we can be like, hey, Kevin, we know that you've been on this podcast. Is there a possibility we can get an introduction? And that is so powerful because now, obviously, any gatekeeper that they may have, you're, you know, skipping through them and going straight into a conversation. And I'm going to be clear.
Gatekeeper or gatekeeper?
Gatekeeper.
Okay, good.
And they, you know, at the same time, like, they might be like, hey, look, it's not a fit. That doesn't necessarily, again, the fact that somebody's going to make an introduction for you doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to be a part of their podcast, but is an easier in, right? Lean into the relationships that you are building, especially if you have a show where you're bringing guests on. For example, that is something that we can definitely do better, which is, you know, keeping track of all the relationships that we have created through the podcast. There's some of them that we have incredible relationships we're very close to. There's some that, you know, maybe have been put a little bit in the back burner, but we definitely need to do a better job at nurturing those relationships.
Yes,
do you do that? I'm curious.
You definitely do.
Totally. So, I mean, it's true. Like, some of the big, and I've noticed a 80-20 in effect, and really it might even be like 95-5, meaning like 5% of your podcast guest appearances get you like 95% of the results. Because when you land on a really big show, that for a lot of shows becomes an inflection point.
Yeah.
And again, those big shows, like the big names that we all recognize, like they have a process, they're booked out way in advance, it's super competitive to be on the show. And there's a couple that I'm going to be on later this year. I can't share them yet. I'm not going to share them until the interview is done.
No exclusive on Content is Profit. Come on, Kevin.
Yeah.
This is why
there's
we
a couple
brought
of big
you.
Names. I know. This is the one thing. I give away everything, but this is the one thing that I got to hold just you
so
know, close
cool,
to the chest
man.
Until it. Because I don't want to jinx it. Yeah, but there's
good.
Two creators who I know that you guys and everybody hearing my voice right now knows their names. And I've been officially invited on their show. And it's a scheduled out. Like the interview is like 8 months from now. It's crazy. Oh. And like those... I've been working on those for 4 years.
Yeah.
So, but I know that those two appearances, now you got to be careful, you got to manage expectations, but I know for a fact that those are going to be some major, major inflection points for my audience because, you know, these people have so many listeners that it can make a huge difference. So my point is to take the long game. Like it's just, that's why I say, look, every month, send some pitches, set up some chats, you know, set up some interviews next and just keep doing it a nice steady pace that you can maintain consistently as long as you're podcasting.
Before we go into the third lever, I want to acknowledge the
hairstyle. That's
also great.
Is it too distracting? Should I?
Man, what hair products are you using? Because clearly, Fonzie, you want a hair like that because you can bring it up. What's going on? But okay, wait, I mean, for people to enjoy the journey of guesting as well, man. Like it's, I mean, there's nothing more valuable than the experience of people asking you questions and then you're trying to answer those. And there's so much hidden value in those. Even if there's not a big show, say yes to that conversation because you'll be very surprised on the value that comes out of your mouth when people frame questions in a different way. And we've had that with many people in our show and us guesting as well. We're like, what? Did I just say that? That sounds great. Yeah. Guess what? The point that now we are writing a book on a concept that we share on one of the interviews because we started diving deep and deep and deep. And the person was like, man, like this is so good. And they published so many books. And they're like, we're going to help you do this. And again, like what opportunity you know, incredible path that we can achieve by doing the reps.
Yeah. One of my favorite quotes lately, definitely recency bias, but one of my favorite quotes at the moment is, I don't know what I'm thinking until I write it. And it's the same with podcasting. It's like, I don't know what I'm thinking until I say it, until I word it. And at the very early stage, I think it's very beneficial to say yes to a lot of conversations because it's going to help you work through your own concepts. Maybe if you have, you know, own frameworks, like my brother said, those questions that they're asking you, they're going to help you develop those in a very unique way that is going to help you differentiate yourself in the market, right? And when you finally get to the big shows, right, or the bigger shows, you're going to have a good message that people are going to be able to resonate with. And they're going to say, I want to know more about Kevin. Let me go to grow the show and listen to more of what he has to say. Yeah. So definitely you got to put the reps.
Yeah. All right, Kevin, to close out the show, third lever, you cannot leave us without it. I love it. And then after the third lever, you have a surprise for everybody listening, right? I'm assuming.
Totally.
So we'll get into that. So bring it open. So, give us everything.
this might be a little anticlimactic. Maybe I should have gone with this first. And the reason I qualify that, and the reason I qualify that is because this third lever is the one that I currently am the least experienced with, and that I am very much learning right now. But what I can absolutely say is that some of the most unbelievable podcast growth that I have seen over the past years has come from this lever, and that is YouTube.
Yes.
Yep. Podcasting is, I was telling you guys before we started recording, I very much came from an audio background. I was an audio only podcaster for since 2018. And it was really only last year, 2023, that I was like, all right, I think I got to figure out this video thing. And the reason I did that, and I honestly resisted it for a long time because I heard everybody around me online saying, podcasters have to do video. You are missing out. You must be on video. And I was like, no, you don't. Mm-hmm. I know so many shows, so many amazing podcasters who are audio only. Right. And that's still true. Like, I still believe in that. I am not saying that everybody has to be on YouTube. And if you're one of those people that's like, F you, I don't want to do YouTube. I'm like, yeah, F me. Don't do YouTube. You know what I mean? Like, okay. However, if you're curious about it, if you're interested in doing it and you're willing to learn a new skill, lighting and camera placement and titles and thumbnails and editing and keeping visual attention, like if that stuff is all interesting to you, it's a lot, right?
Yeah.
If that's interesting to you, then I highly recommend it because I just think that it's going to continue going in this direction. So that's what I have to say about
it. I love it. And again, like we go into these conversations on production every single day, right? And there's like levers to it and levels. And if you have a team or no team or if it's you, and these are things to consider. And if you have questions, please feel free to reach out. That's what we do. And we can help you navigate through that as well. But it could be as simple as, like you said, the right camera, the right lighting, right, and the right environment. I have a very important question. Do you sit in the chairs that you have behind you?
My dog does.
Oh, there we go.
They're both my dog chairs. I'm in here all day, and she just all day long. switches between the two of them.
That's perfect. That's, by the way, for those listening, please go ahead and watch the video on YouTube because the set is amazing, right? And obviously that was me joking, but I see these incredible sets and in my head, I can't help to wonder, Mike, is that an actual like functional set that people use or they do it for the video? And I don't care what they do, but I'm always curious. Yeah. So anyways, but
I feel like that would be a cool set there for in-person conversations totally. That you might have.
Yeah,
you
you're know? Right.
Somebody might totally be sitting one side and then have like a three camera setup going on.
Yeah.
Definitely something going there. Can I add something real quick?
Sure.
I recently saw a picture of you with Jay Klaus, who's also part of the Hubspot Podcast Network, and also watched one of your YouTube videos, and I actually sent it to my team. I was like, this is the guest that we're going to have on the show. Look at the intro. I would love for you guys to give me a breakdown of what you see of what he's doing on the intros. Your intros, now that when I saw it, I was like, ooh, this is fairly similar in a way in structure to Jay Klaus. So I can see maybe you've gotten either some feedback, he's his friend, you guys have shared information in there, or maybe you've gotten some sort of inspiration from him. But I absolutely love those hooks that you were creating in there. Absolutely amazing. And I think that is a big part of the gaming YouTube, right? We've talked about it before, asynchronous effort, put more of the effort on the parts that most people consume so you can retain them for the long term. And in saying retention, right, this is kind of breaking my heart because, you know, back at the beginning, we talk about, I got to pick my questions. I got to sacrifice some. Mm-hmm. And I really wanted to talk about retention, right, on podcasting. But I'm going to leave it as we might have to bring you for part two to talk about retention because I think it's a whole different level. Also, when I was listening to your podcast, I thought to myself, I've thought about starting a podcast called The Creative Process, where I dive deep into how people create. How do
that's
they
not the name you said.
Create
you said,
their craft. Yeah, that's one.
You
that's
say
one.
Content playbooks.
Content playbooks is a different one.
Okay.
I've had too many ideas.
Oh, man.
But the creative process is more to understand the artist behind their craft. And when I heard your podcast, I'm saying, this guy is an artist. You produce some real good quality content. We told you at the beginning, it's like, dude, this is like some NPR stuff, even better. Yeah. So I do want to invite people that are listening to Content Profit today with Kevin to go and listen to Grow the Show. If you haven't, if you have listened to Grow the Show, go back and listen to it again. It's absolutely amazing. And if I ever launch The Creative Process, I'm going to be definitely calling you so we can have a conversation on how do you create these masterpieces, because they are immersive and they are really, really good.
Yeah. So, Kevin, you're... Go ahead.
I was just going to say, that means the world coming from you guys. You guys know content, so that's just really high praise. Thank you.
Absolutely, man. Anytime. We're very fortunate. I'm very grateful that you're here sharing your secrets. I saw your presentation. It's so good. I want to encourage everybody to click the links right below. You have a surprise for us.
Mm-hmm.
I saw your presentation on Capture Audience Live. It was so good. It blew my mind. It's the things that everybody tells you to do and nobody does, and then you made it so simple. And you're like, oh my gosh, I gotta do that. And so, you know, we're putting the pieces in place on our side internally, but I will highly encourage everybody, listen to what Kevin says and tell us, what's the surprise?
Yeah, so you're absolutely right. It was a blast when I presented at Capshovians Live in January, and I hadn't done a presentation like that in so long. And I was like, I need to do more of this. I could just see people in the audience getting it. And I was like, wow, this method of delivery is great. So, with that, I'm excited to announce that April 1st through the 5th, I'm doing a live remote summit. It's called Grow the Show Live. It's going to be 5 days. And each day we're going to dive deep into what I call the podcast ladder, which is the four things that you need to know in order to have a thriving, fully grown, monetized podcast. And so we talked about level 3 of the ladder today. We didn't really talk about levels 1 or 2 or 4, but the live event's going to go deep into it. It's going to be real immersive, lots of interaction with me. And so, you know, if anyone listening wants to check it out, buy a ticket, you can go to growtheshowlive.com/CIP, which stands for Content is Profit. Grab a ticket and I'll get to meet you there.
Dude.
So good.
So amazing. We're going to be there for sure. We're going to tell everybody in the studio to go there. Hopefully they'll join us. We'll be like, be like, no, you have to be there. If not, you cannot record in the studio anymore. we're going to run out of business, or you're going to get a lot of business. Either or. But no,
we'll see what it
is. Yeah, we'll see what it is. No, but Kevin, dude, I'm super stoked that you came to the show. Very grateful. Again, part two for retention and many other things, you know, to come. And good luck to you, all your guesting. And as soon as those big shows go out and announce it, let us know, man. We'll, you know, spread the word too with our community. I'm sure, like, this was packed with value and actionable items. So what's this useful, Fonzie?
Yeah, absolutely. And, okay, I have one last question. One last question here for very selfish purposes.
Yeah.
How would you promote this episode?
Ah, so what I would do is I would first of all make a post that's super useful. You can pick, like, you could pick the social media piece that we went into. You can pick the podcast pitching framework. You don't have to do everything that I've said. And I would make a text step one, step two, step three post. Mm-hmm. I would have some sort of media attached to it. So either a video of me talking about it or an image, right? And then I would, here's the most important part, tag me in it. Because when I, as the guest, see that you've posted something that's not only makes me look awesome, but is actually useful, I will absolutely reshare that with my audience. But what I won't reshare is another post that's just like, go listen to this episode now, because I know my audience isn't going to like that. So that is how I would promote this episode on social media.
Love it. Love it.
That's so cool.
All right. We got the playbook.
Pressure's on. Let's
I want to see it next week.
Let's go.
Yeah. Kevin, is there anything else that you want to add before we head out?
No, guys, we covered it all. You guys are too kind for having me, so just thank you so much.
Dude, thank you. And then if you guys want to get the hairstyle routine as well, make sure you slide into Kevin's DM. No.
Come to Grow the Show Live. That'll be the bonus today after the live session. We'll do a live hair
Let's
session.
Let's go.
Bam. All right. Guys, with that said, thank you so much for tuning to the Content Strapping Podcast. Go ahead and follow the show in your favorite podcasting platform and on social media at Biz Rose Co.
That is Ryan. If Kevin here help you move one, two, or even three steps closer towards your goal, please don't forget to share this episode and leave a 5-star review. See ya.
Let's go. Bye, guys.